There's no evidence. We all know that. I agree, Jacob said. But that's the damn point. It's not about what's in the file. It's about what isn't in the file. The Malibu was like half a Cadillac. 4 cylinders instead of 8, 1 ton instead of 2, and about half as long. But it worked okay. It was cruising nicely. Not that Reacher was paying much attention to it. He was thinking about the dead Iranian and the odds against hitting a T-wave window. The guy had been small, built like a bird, and Reacher tended to assume that people opposite him on the physical spectrum were also opposite him on the personality spectrum, so that in place of his own placid nature, he imagined the guy was all strung out and nervous, which might have meant that back there in the parking lot, the guy's heart was going as fast as 180 beats a minute, which meant those T-waves were coming around fast and furious, 3 times a second, which meant that the odds of hitting one of those crucial 15-millisecond windows ahead of a peak were about 45 in 1,000, or a little better than 1 in 20. Unlucky. For the Iranian, certainly. But no cause for major regret. Most likely Reacher would have had to put him down anyway, one way or another, sooner or later, probably within just a few more heartbeats. It would have been practically inevitable. Once a gun was pulled, there were very few other available options. But still, it had been a first. And a last, probably, at least for a spell. Because Reacher was pretty sure the next guy he met would be a football player. He figured the Duncans knew he had gone out of town, possibly for a day, possibly forever. He figured they would have gotten hold of the doctor long ago and squeezed that news out of him. And they were realistic but cautious people. They would have stood down 5 of their boys for the night and left just 1 lone sentry to the south. And that 1 lone sentry would have to be dealt with, but not via commotio cordis. Reacher wasn't about to aim a wild punch at a Cornhusker's center mass. Not in this lifetime. He would break his hand. He kept the Malibu humming along. 8 miles. 9. And then he started looking ahead for the bar he had seen on the shoulder, the small wooden building, the cell block. Maybe just outside the city limit. Unincorporated land. Maybe a question of licensing or regulation. There was mist in the air, and the Malibu's headlights made crisp little tunnels. Then they were answered by a glow in the air. A halo, far ahead on the left. Neon in Kelly green and red and blue. Beer signs. Plus yellow tungsten from a couple of token spots in the parking lot. Reacher slowed and pulled in and parked his yellow car next to a pickup that was mostly brown with corrosion. He got out and locked up and headed for the door. From close up, the place looked nothing at all like a prison. It was just a shack. It could once have been a house or a store. Even the sign was written wrong. The words cell block were stenciled like a notation on an electrician's blueprint, like something technological. There was noise inside, the warm low hubbub and hoo-ha of a half-empty late-evening bar in full swing, plus a little music under it, probably from a jukebox, a tune Reacher didn't recognize, but was prepared to like. He went in. The door opened directly in the left front corner of the main public room. The bar ran front to back on the right, and there were tables and chairs on the left. There were maybe 20 people in the room, mostly men. The decoration scheme was really no scheme at all. Wooden tables, wheelback chairs, bar stools, board floor. There was no prison theme. In fact, the electronic visuals from outside were continued inside. The stenciled words, cell block, were repeated on the bar back, flanked by foil-covered cutouts of radio towers with lightning bolts coming out of them. Reacher threaded sideways between tables and caught the barman's eye, and the barman shuffled left to meet him. The guy was young and his face was open and friendly. He said, "You look confused." Reacher said, "I guess I was expecting bars on the windows, maybe booths in the old cells. I thought maybe you would be wearing a suit with arrows all over it." The guy didn't answer. "Like an old prison?" Reacher said, "like a cell block?" The guy stayed blank for a second, and then he smiled. "Not that kind of cell block," he said. "Take out your phone." "I don't have a phone." "Well, if you did, you'd find it wouldn't work here. No signal. There's a null zone about a mile wide. That's why people come here, for a little undisturbed peace and quiet." "They can't just not answer?" "Human nature doesn't really work that way, does it? People can't ignore a ringing phone. It's about guilty consciences. You know, wives or bosses. All kinds of hassle. Better that their phones don't ring at all."
"So do you have a payphone here? Strictly for emergencies?"
The guy pointed. "Back corridor." "Thanks. That's why I came in." He threaded down the line of stools, some of them occupied, some of them not, and he found an opening that led to the restrooms and a rear door. There was a payphone on the wall opposite the ladies' room. It was mounted on a cork rectangle that was dark and stained with age and marked with scribbled numbers in faded ink. He checked his pockets for quarters and found 5. He wished he had kept the Iranians' coins. He dialed the same number he had used a quarter of an hour ago, and Dorothy Coe had used a quarter of a century ago. The call was answered, and he asked for Hogue, and he was connected inside 10 short seconds.
"One more favor," he said. "You got phone books for the whole county, right?"
Hogue said,
"Yes."
"I need a number for a guy called Seth Duncan, about 60 miles north of you."
"Wait one," Hogue said.
Reacher heard the click and patter of a keyboard, a computer database, not a paper book. Hogue said,
That's an unlisted number."
"Unlisted as in you don't have it, or as in you can see it but you won't tell me?"
"Unlisted as in please don't ask me, because you'll be putting me on the spot."
"Okay, I won't ask you. Anything under Eleanor Duncan?"
"No. There are 4 Duncans, all male names, all unlisted.
So give me the doctor instead."
"What doctor?"
"The local guy up there."
"What's his name?"
"I don't know," Reacher said. "I don't have his name."